Can you hear me in the back? All right. So hi, welcome to the very last session of Mix, and I'm very glad that you all made it, and not many of you are sleeping out there tonight, today. How was your mix? Was it good? Yeah? Okay. So I'm really hoping that we can finish this at the high note, as our lovely cameraman over there said. Let me tell you, this is the last talk, and we're going to talk about two applications and our experience in the marketplace and design-wise. One of the applications is my friend's Balint Orosz's application, Cocktail Flow. And the other application is our application, SurfCube. If you would mix us up, you know, we have the matching T-shirts, so that's probably going to help. If you would like to do some tweeting, the Mixtail is our tweet tag. So let's get started. If you're wondering where the funny accent is from, we're actually from Hungary, which is the little red country surrounded by all the green ones. And the green countries on this map actually mean the countries that are allowed to publish on the marketplace. And up until yesterday, we weren't allowed to do that. And actually, up until fall, we are not allowed to do that. But Eastern Europeans are kind of a people who find their ways around obstacles, okay? So let me introduce myself. My name is András Velvárt. I'm the owner of a small consulting company in Hungary called Response Limited. Our slogan is user experience outside the box. I'm also a Silverlight MVP, which is an honor I really appreciate. You can see my email, Twitter, blog address is there. And I also would like to mention Kinabalu Innovation, which is a Hong Kong company, and which is a company that created SurfCube along with us. And with that, I would like to give the word to my friend, Balint.
Okay, so hi everybody. I'm Balint Orosz. I'm the UI lead at Distinction, which is a consulting and professional services firm based in Hungary. That's my email address, and that's where you can find me on Twitter. So today I'm going to talk to you about Cocktail Flow, mostly about the design part, why we believe it's a great application, and a little bit of story of how we could keep the momentum going on. So what is Cocktail Flow, in case you don't know? Well, Cocktail Flow is a bartending app. It costs about $3. It has a strong focus on visuals and is the fifth highest rated app on the marketplace, which we are very proud, since it's been in the top five ever since we've released it, which has been 6 months ago. But actually, I don't really like this definition, because that's not how we, and I believe that's not how a lot of our users think of Cocktail Flow. When we started to build Cocktail Flow, we wanted to build an app which is dedicated to bring the experience of sitting in a bar and drinking beautiful cocktails in your mobile. And you know, this means a difference. We didn't want to build an app. We wanted to build an experience. And I guess if I asked a lot of you, if you want to have a bartending app, well, you would say, yeah, well, maybe that could be cool. But if I told you, do you want to have the experience of sitting in a bar in your pocket? Well, I bet most of you would say, yeah, that would be really good. So when talking about great apps, I started thinking and asking my friends that, what makes a great app? Why do they think that an app is great? What do they like in it? And basically, all of the answers I could put in two categories. Either it has great functionality, or it has great experience. So this makes me think that on the high level, we have now two categories of apps. One of them are tools, and one of them are experiences. And this is very important to recognize for every single person who builds an app, because I believe that the users, when they open the app, on the first screen decide whether they are using a tool or having an experience, and they are going to interact with the app in a very different way. So I took a look at the top-rated apps on the platform. This data is from Bing Visual Search. These are the top 10 rated apps. And I really like this because these are not only the ratings, but it's also calculated inside how many ratings it has, which is connected to how many downloads. So basically, I think I do reflect the most loved applications on the platform. I categorized them in the experiences and tools. Well, this didn't say that much because, as we see, you can have tools as top-rated apps as well as experiences. But if you look at this way, let's see the top-rated free apps. You can see most of them are tools. And if we see at the top-rated paid apps, all of them are experience apps. In this case, most of them are games, but still I categorize them as experience apps. And this is very interesting to see because what I feel is people do not want to pay anymore for tools. We have great free tools and we love them, and every time we purchase a paid tool, we don't find it good enough. Because, you know, there's a perfect tool for me, there's a perfect tool for you, but those two perfect tools are just not the same because I use different functions as you use. However, in the experience area, there's no such thing as a perfect experience. There are a lot of great experiences, and a lot of users can have great experiences with the same app. So what we believe is the future is a world of great experiences. And we believe this basically because I think tools are easy to replace and experiences are much harder. Just think about in a real-world example. Let's take Foursquare. When Facebook started doing Facebook Places and Facebook Check-in, everybody said that Foursquare is going to die. But those people didn't realize that Foursquare had an experience that Facebook didn't have. Foursquare had the badges, the majors, all of that data. Its experience was very important for the users. And this way, it not only managed to keep alive, but it grows in a very steady pace. So just a fast recap. So let's get back to Windows Phone. I guess most of you know what Metro is. It's the design language of Windows Phone. It's very clean. It's easy to navigate. It helps you to make decisions faster. And it's basically, I really like this kind of Metro language. Reflecting this to the Windows Phone 7, I believe that tools should be Metro. A great example of this is Force and Major, which is a very popular Foursquare app in the platform. And it has a very simple but great interface. Users love it. They get in, they get out. It does exactly what Metro requires us to do. So staying at the Metro analogy, let's think about subway stations. And let's think about tools as ticketing machines. Have you ever told your friend that, oh my God, this ticketing machine was so good because it gave me my ticket in a so fashionable way? Well, I guess not. That's because we think about tools as they should do their job, and every time they do something wrong, we become angry. However, when we think about experiences the same in the subway station, I really like this example. This is basically an ad where a user could plug in his earphones and then listen to music. You see, this is not trivial how to do it. Users can't do it fast. The designer could easily do that plug headphones here, but he didn't, because experiences are all about discovering. And this gives a better sense of why users rate experience apps better than tools, because users want to engage with the experiences. They want to discover it. They don't see every missing point as a fault. Maybe they see it as a feature. And I believe that experiences should not strictly follow the Metro, but rather embrace it, and they should innovate on top of Metro platform. So when designing Cocktail Flow, basically what we wanted to do is create one of the best experiences available on the platform. We also wanted to reach a lot of users. We not only just wanted to reach cocktail lovers, but a lot of people who like cocktails and like visuals. And we also thought about early adopters. What do early adopters like, how they behave, and what are they proud of so they can spread the word? We made Cocktail Flow in late August, early September, and at that time I went through the available design stuff and design guidelines we had, and there were not much. I could search on YouTube for a few apps and stuff like that, but you know, I didn't even have a phone to test to inspire from. There were no other applications I could download and see how they function. And I think, looking back, this was a great thing because I was required to do something different. There were no patterns I could use to make something special and unique. I had to directly do something innovative maybe, but basically something different. And this just made me let my mind free and do some crazy stuff. So the first thing I did was I broke quite a lot of rules which are written in the Metro design guidelines. One thing was this, that we went with white instead of black. Right now, a lot of applications do that, but at that time, I think we were one of the few ones who did this. And when I first showed my team the designs, they said, oh, this looks great, but you know, we should use black, because it's written in the design guidelines that it should be black. And I said, I know that, but you know, white is better. And they said, yeah, we know that, but it should be black because it's going to be Windows Phone 7. And what they didn't quite get is I not only believe that cocktails do look better on white background, but I wanted to differentiate my app from the OS. I knew that people were going to pay for it, and they expect something premium to get inside them. So if something's different than the OS, they don't feel it's something cheap that is integrated, that is not worth the money, but they see the added value that probably some guys did work with this. The other thing that I did, and that was very heavy, I did use some gradients and even some drop shadows. Now, I don't really recommend that in a big way, but in a small ways, it can be really interesting. And you know, as we wanted to deliver the cocktail experience and the bar experience, there are a lot of depths in that space, and the drop shadow and gradients help me to reproduce that. What we didn't break, basically, was the typography. So Windows Phone has a very rich typography, and I really love the Windows Phone fonts. It has a lot of styles from light, semi-bold, regular, bold, and you can use them in a very fashionable way. And these are basically two mock-ups. One of them is the current cocktail flow screen, and the other one is what happened if I wouldn't use the styles and different colors. And you can see that one of them is easy to see through, it's pleasant to your eyes, but the other is very cluttered and unseeable. So what I do suggest is that you use a lot of typography, because it not only helps to bring focus, but it's also not so boring for the user. It's a little bit more interesting for everybody out there. So some performance issues we had, because as I mentioned earlier, we did not have a phone when developing it. Actually, at that time when we released, there was only one phone in Hungary, and that belonged to the CEO of Microsoft Hungary. So it was quite hard to get that, but we managed to get that for 8 hours. And we uploaded the app on the phone, and you know, it was very slow. On the emulator, everything seemed fine, but it was very slow on the phone, and we actually had 6 or 7 hours to make that work. So what we did basically, we took out the page transitions completely, and we didn't find a way to really effectively put them back ever since, because the performance of our heavy imagery screens is just not there right now. Some animations were slow, especially when the ingredients flew in. All we did is change the animation from alpha mask to X coordinates and use the GPU instead of the CPU, and that made a lot of change. The load times of the screens were very slow. I mean this when I clicked on something and a new screen appeared. It was there instantly, but the user couldn't interact with it because in the background the UI was still blocked because some other threads were running. And what we did was very simple. We didn't show the UI. We only show a progress bar until every UI element is loaded and the user can instantly interact with the application and the application will react. And that is very important, and we get a lot of feedback that, oh, your application is the fastest on the marketplace, and that's absolutely not true. What others do is they show the progress bar, but they still show the UI. And we don't show any UI, we only show the progress bar until the point where the user can really interact with the application. Also, the list scrolling wasn't that good. I'm hearing that it's going to be better in Mango, and I hope. But as for now, what we did is we basically replaced the list with a stack panel. We loaded it all inside and only showed it when it was available. And after three elements, we added a next and a previous button. I realize this is not the best solution, but we didn't get any user complaints for that, so I'm glad about that. So hopefully this will be solved with Mango. The last big question before releasing the app was whether we should have a trial or shouldn't we have a trial. This was a little bit complicated because, you know, we saw the trial as a great opportunity, but we were also afraid that if users buy the trial, download the trial, and see the experience, they won't download the whole app. Or maybe if we don't give them the whole experience, we will get negative ratings because, oh, the app looks good, but, you know, you don't have that much content inside there. So at the end of the day, we sat down and think about it. I'm going to buy a Windows phone. I have a lot of apps in the marketplace. What do I do? The first thing I do, I download a lot of trial apps and try them out. Then I see this great app called Cocktail Flow, which has great screenshots. you know, I count down with the traffic, but I didn't spend a nickel today, so maybe I'll just buy that. And I don't know if that worked or another thing worked, but we did manage to stay on the top list even without the trials out there. So at the end, we didn't have a trial. Right now, we have a trial for 1 week, which you can download for free and activate it. But usually, we don't have and don't planning on including one. And now I'm giving back the word to Andras.
And the remote. Thank you. So for those who don't know ServCube, let me just do a very quick demo of it, because we're going to be talking about some of the experience here. That's actually my son. And this is ServCube, and ServCube is basically a web browser. And the interesting thing about the ServCube is that you can see that pretty much every single pixel of the UI is dedicated to the browsing experience. So where are the controls? The controls are on the other sides of the cube. And I can rotate the cube by starting from outside the screen. This is very important. Starting from outside the screen on the bezel and just pulling it down. And as you can see, this is pretty much a 3D experience immediately. And on the top side, top face of the cube, we have favorites and history. And you can see that, as Balin said, we're mostly like a tool. So we didn't deviate much from the Metro visual design. But we do have some other Metro things like these small delightful animations here, which I personally really like. The other way to control the cube is by this little thing called joystick. Whoever thought that joystick would be usable for web browsing, right? And the way you can do this is just do very quick flicks, left and right. And this is the settings panel. Or just move it around in a very slow way. And I know the projector is not perfect here. But this transition, you please check out on your own phone. This is very smooth. This is 50 frames per second, and we worked hard on that. Another way to control the cube itself is using the accelerometer. So we have these three ways of controlling the cube, and our goal really was to make not just a useful browser with a lot of features, because we have stuff like bandwidth saver and orientation lock and Twitter sharing and things like that. But also we wanted to create an application which was a joy to use. And I think we succeeded, because one of the first reactions to our version 2 was when a user put our entire design philosophy into one word, which us ourselves weren't able to do. And this one word is functional. And we really love this, and this is probably going to be our new motto for ServCube. Another thing that you could notice is that we have changed the way you interact with the application. So this is not your regular Windows Phone application. There are some new things to learn. They're not difficult to learn, but we did include, even in first version, a tutorial. And if you download the application, and then the first thing that you will have to do is go through this tutorial. And that will basically show you what I just showed you right now and teach you how to do that. Let's talk about our first version. Right before releasing it, we sent out a couple of, let's say, release candidate builds to a couple of friends. And one of them was René Schulte, who had an HTC phone. And as you could see, I have an LG phone. Now, the thing about HTC phones is that you can see here that the capacitive buttons, the back window search buttons, are right below the screen, and actually they are capacitive. So as soon as you touch them, you're out of the application. And this makes the drag from outside of the screen pretty much impossible if you want to drag it from the bottom to the top. I'm going to refer to this issue as the HTC issue in this talk, because it's going to come back a few times. So I really recommend you that before you launch your application, you have a couple of friends look at it. because this was an issue that could have been a showstopper if we didn't know about this. But what we did before launching version 1 was we rearranged the faces of the cube so that there was nothing important on the bottom face. The next thing about version 1 is that we didn't have tabs. And the reason for this is that we didn't really know what people want to use tabs for on a mobile browser. It's so you pretty much know what people use tabs for on a desktop browser, but on a mobile browser, it's much different. And we wanted to get a feedback, we wanted to get a use cases. But at the same time, this was the bottom face, actually, on the first version. At the same time, we didn't want to receive bad reviews because we didn't have tabs. So what we did is we just said, tabs coming soon. And that gave us some time to think about, to get a feedback, and really do a great tab implementation later on. The third thing about the version 1 is the trial mode. Unlike Balint's application, this is a tool, and this is something that you really have to try to appreciate. So we enabled the trial, and what you were able to do is run the application 20 times, and then the first time the little text that is there was, oh yeah, thank you for trying. And as time went on, the little text became a little bit more and more, let's say, demanding, like, oh, come on, you've already launched this application 15 times. Can't you spare $2, which is less than a Big Mac, for this great application that you seem to like? So this is how the trial mode went. Now, version 1 was launched. It was approved in the marketplace. So it was time to get the word out. And how do you get the word out for such an application? What I did was I created a short 4-minute video. And there was nothing professional about it, to be honest. I just put up a video camera, and I just showed off the application and this new interaction model and the new features that the application had to the camera. What I also did was added some Benny Hill music to it. You know, the one, and like that. Yeah, I always wanted to do that in the mix stage, right? And the thing about Benny Hill music is it's funny. It shows that we're not taking ourselves too seriously. But also, from a video editor point of view, it has very good editing points at every 10, 15 seconds. So I was able to cut the video so that it changes themes just like the music changes. And the Benny Hill music was very interesting, the feedback on that, because a lot of people thought it was awesome and it brought back good memories. A lot of people thought it was not professional enough, and come on, why do you think that I will buy your app if you're this funny? But still, most of the people had some reaction to it, and that's good. I mean, if they talk about your thing, whether good or bad, that's good, right? So after the video was live, what I did was I sent out a single tweet to Twitter. And I at the time, had something like 600 followers or so, most of them obviously interested in Windows Phone. So I sent out a tweet, and just a few hours later, wmparryuser.com sent me an email and asked some more details about the application, which I, of course, obviously answered. And then they put up an article on wmparryuser.com, which got picked up by Engadget the very next day. And you know Engadget, they are pretty much sarcastic. So they had this article titled, "While ServeCube brings the 3D browser experience to Windows Phone 7, which it so desperately needed." But anyway, they wrote an article, and they included the video there. So then, in a few hours, I think it was an entire night, I wasn't sleeping too much that night, this many publications actually picked up on Engadget and WMPower user's story, and we had tons of press coverage. It was really exciting. I mean, it was so exciting, like jumping off a cliff. Let me talk to you about the numbers of this whole press coverage thing. The YouTube video had something like 65,000 views in the first few days. Now it's above 80,000, I think, the very first video that we did. And, you know, we received feedback. We received good feedback, enthusiastic feedback, and yak feedbacks as well. But the important point is there was 200 social mentions of the YouTube video itself. And I don't know the visitor statistics for the WM Powerages and Engadget, but there were almost 40 comments on the articles for WM Power User and 46 social mentions. And on Engadget, we had 120 comments and 350 social mentions. If you know Engadget, there's a daily rating on the most interesting articles, and this 120 actually put us into the middle field. So it was pretty good. Now, one thing I really wanted to do, and one of the reasons I wasn't sleeping that night, is I really wanted to be there and read the comments. And when the comments came on the articles, I was answering them. And it really had a positive effect. This is one of such comments here. This guy said, "You gotta love when the dev is on here and great product." And another problem that we had at the time in the marketplace, I don't really know if it still exists, is that even though your application is live in the marketplace, it's not searchable for, well, SurfQ was not searchable for almost a whole day. So that means that people wanted to download it, they wanted to try it, but they couldn't because the search didn't return any results. So I had to tell them, okay, please go to the tools menu and find a new thing. So this is something that you may want to be aware of before you start your big hype. Okay, please, Balint, talk to us about your launch experience.
Yeah, so we saw SurfCube had a great launch experience. We didn't get that big kind of press, but I also want to tell you what we did to launch successfully. So basically, before launching, and we had a quite good position because at that time there were only about 400 apps on the marketplace. We sent emails and images to blogs so they might get interested in Cocktailflow. You know, something great for Windows Phone is coming, so just make sure you know about it, and when we come out, please write a review of it. We also had to make sure that our app is ready when Windows Phone launches. In Europe, it launched on the 20th of October, and we wanted to be in the marketplace at that time. So basically, we had to do with two things. One, which is very hard for us, is administration, as we couldn't submit an app from Hungary. I was lucky enough that my brother is in the UK, so it runs right now under his name. And we also had to keep the deadlines, which with these performance issues wasn't that easy. And of course, what we did was we pre-ordered a Windows Phone, so the day when it comes, we will have one and we can test Cocktailflow on it. Actually, we had luck because we did have some time in the safe, so our first submit was rejected. And one of the reasons of the rejection was that our application, the main entry point of the application is a panorama, and we figured out when the user is on the fourth item of the panorama, he doesn't really realize that he's in the main panorama, and he presses back button because he wants to get to the main menu, and it exits the application. So what we did was we overrode this behavior and jumped automatically back to the first item, the panorama, and Microsoft didn't really like that. And the other was, since we didn't have a phone, we didn't really realize how important tombstoning was, and we messed that up. But gladly, we managed to fix both of the issues quite fast. So we finally got to submit our new version, and that was accepted exactly on the 20th of October. So we were very glad. After launch, we also sent a lot of emails to blogs, and we also made a demo video, a rather professional one, and we also got a lot of YouTube views and a website because we believe that people on Twitter like to link videos or websites. And we also tried to spread the word on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. And we were quite successful because we jumped to the top list. I think we were 30th most downloaded app on the marketplace in the first days. So we managed to get on the top list, and ever since we could stay there. What we learned during the process and from the first reviews is that user feedback is the most important thing for your app. You know, we had a bunch of ideas when the first version came out, what new features we can add, how can we improve the experience. But actually, users liked the experience. They only wanted more cocktails. And basically, we were like, you have 150 cocktails. Why more? But users just wanted more. And we actually would like to add them more, but really couldn't because we have this 20 megabyte download limit on 3G networks. And with all the images, we went through that if we added more cocktails. So what we did, basically, is we implemented an in-app download system where users can download the base application with a few cocktails and then later on download cocktail packages. This was a quite good idea because this way, if we had typos, errors of any kind of our data, we could really easily update it for the users. And it's also a possible in-app purchase starting point. Right now, Windows Phone is not supporting in-app purchase, but if later on it decides to, I think this is another way where you can generate revenue. And I think Andras has something to say about user feedback as well.
Yeah. Thank you. So user feedback is pretty important for ServeCube. Actually, this is how we decide what to do next. We have changed our plans many, many times because of the user feedback made us change our priorities. To get a user feedback, basically we use two different methods. One of them is on the About screen, we have the Rate This App link, which takes you to the marketplace and you can rate the application. And the other one is Send Feedback, which is an email link. And you can download the code, the Blend Behavior code for this functionality from my blog. So it's pretty easy, just drag and drop, and you can implement it. Now, as for the email version, you know, when people don't like something in your app or they have problems, you really don't want to put that up on the marketplace, so that's why it's pretty good to have an email communication. Also, it's much easier to keep the conversation going with your users. Now, we created a word cloud from our from the ratings in the marketplace, and as you can see, we received this pretty much shows what we received. So they said it's great, it's good, it's a great concept. There's also a big tabs on the over on the right side, and they said it's awesome. And if you look at the top center, they also told us to die. Well, actually, no. That's because it's German, right? So it's a German D. But if you look at this tech cloud a little bit more, you can see on the left side there is HD7 mentioned. On the bottom there is HTC in medium-sized letters. So that means that the HTC issue that I was mentioning earlier was really hitting us hard. Now, what can you do to raise your ratings? Of course, one of the things that you can do is call your grandmother and tell him to rate your application as a 5-star. But many of us don't have grandmothers with Windows phones, right? So that doesn't really work apart from a few rates. And we have something over 300 at this moment. So what can you do? The most the most fair way of, you know, increasing your rates is to actually have a Twitter search for your application. And it's pretty easy for ServeCube because this is a word that we made up. But you can also have application names like Guitar Tuner, which is another app of mine, and it would be really hard to do a Twitter search for that. But we do have a Twitter search for ServeCube, and every time somebody mentions ServeCube, basically I do one of two things. If they like ServeCube, I tell them, okay, thank you. I'm really glad that you like it. Can you please share this opinion with others on the marketplace? And they usually will. So that's another 5-star rating right there. Another thing that can happen is that people, for some or other reason, don't like your app, like this person. I don't even know if it's a guy or a girl. And he had problems with the HTC issue. At the time when we realized version 2.0, which actually fixed the HTC issue. So I was telling him, okay, I understand your problem. Can you please try 2.0 and, you know, come back to us whether it works for you? And it actually worked for them. And they loved the application, and they rated it 5 stars, and they've been a fan ever since. It's very strange, you know, with a technical background to stand here with a slide that says marketing, but that's what I'm doing right now. And also, I know the difference between gorilla and guerrilla, but this is just so awesome picture, I couldn't leave it out. So there's some other guerrilla marketing issues, that you, guerrilla marketing tools, techniques that you can utilize. I mentioned the Twitter search, but there's also the engagement with users and email. So if they send you an email that they like your app, you can again say, okay, thank you very much for liking this. Can you please rate it on the marketplace, because every good rating helps us tremendously. Actually, this is a sentence I copy-paste to most of my emails about SurfQ. There's also the videos that you can do. And surprisingly enough or not, but people would rather watch a 3-minute video than spend 1 minute reading your application description. We also use a great app called App Tracker. This is a Windows Phone application which shows you the new ratings of your app, and they even helps you translate the foreign language ratings. If you go to the desktop, there is the ZTop application, or ZoomTop, which not just shows you the ratings, but it also shows you the rankings, how you're doing with the different marketplaces, the different categories. And the other thing about ZTop is that it allows you to actually get in contact with the people who rated your app in the marketplace through the Zoom messaging system. And it works about 50% of the time, so there's some good conversations out of that as well. When the big hype was going on, we also used WhatsApp, which allowed us to see in real time the new articles as they were appearing, who the influencers are, which Twitter people are the influencers about your topic, and so on. And another tactic is I was unlocking people's SurfCube at Mix, and this offer still stands. So if you come up to me after the talk and you have the SurfCube application downloaded and ready, I'll be happy to unlock it and remove the advertisements from it. Returning to tabs, as I told you earlier, we really wanted to understand what users wanted to do with tabs on a mobile browser. So in the tips and tricks section, we actually had a separate email link says send email about tabs. And we managed to get about 12 very good conversations out of this simple link with users. They told us what they want from tabs, and I asked them to be more specific and so on. And then a plan started to form. And then I sent these guys the plan. This is our plan. What do you think of it? Refine the plan. And then finally, we implemented it. So let me just very quickly show you the tab system that we came up with. So the tab system basically works this way. The tabs are on the left side, but the cube doesn't rotate all the way. And you can do new tabs there and new tabs. And switch between the tabs. And the switching is instantaneous. You can also do tap and hold and then open stuff in a background tab. And there it's supposed to be opening. Maybe not, the internet connection is not so perfect. Or you can do things like open in a new tab. And then, it opens. And then when you press the back button on the browser, the tab is actually closed, so we don't have that anymore. And of course, with the tabs, we also have things like the nice little metro animations like that. We have, if you want to sacrifice some of the screen real estate for even faster tab switching, then we can enable a quick tab bar, and that's right there, right at the top, and you can add more tabs to that. So this is the tab system that we came up with. And the other big thing about the version 2.0 was finally solving the HTC issue, which is because in version 2.0 is when we introduced this little joystick thing. And so people who couldn't do this now can do this. And that really made the HTC word pretty much disappear from our feedback, so it works. Let me show you some boring charts. This is the download charts by country, and the big red one is the United States. So you can see that half of the actual downloads are from the United States. And the next one is the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Austria, and the others. And this really shows you why we haven't invested time into localizing ServCube. And especially this one shows you why we haven't invested time. This is the actual sales by country. So if you take only the English-speaking countries, about 75% of the actual sales are coming from those countries. And we think that at this moment, if we invested in localization, that would slow down further development because we had to translate every single version. And we still have some other things to work on, like video playback and things like that. I don't think many of you have seen a slide like this or a chart like this. This is the user feedback from the United States marketplace with time. The little blue dots are the actual feedbacks. And just to make some sense out of it, the red line is the weighted average of those, is the moving average of those feedbacks. And as you can see, at the very beginning, we launched ServCube at the end of December. At the very beginning, we had three and a half stars. But as the hype wore off and people started to missing features and the HTC issue, we averaged at around 3 stars. The big jump up is version 2.0 release. So that I think that was a pretty good release. And then we went down to 3 once more, but I will tell you why that happened later. The blue line is also very interesting. The blue line is the average of the United States conversion rate, which means how many people who have downloaded the trial have actually bought it. And you can see that there is definitely a correlation between the ratings and the conversion rate. And that's because if you see a 4-star or a 5-star rated app, you say, okay, I just think it's good, so I'm more likely to buy it. If you see a lower rated app, then you say, I am not going to buy it. I'm not even going to try. So it's pretty important to keep your ratings high as much as you can, of course. Now, this is another chart. This is the downloads, which is the blue, and the red is the conversion rate, United States again. And you can see that at the very beginning, we had a very, very high download rate. This is due to the hype that we were able to create. And we haven't even been able to duplicate that ever since. But there are some interesting peaks in here. With the version 2.0, we tried to do a tease and then release thing so that maybe we could get 2 hypes out of it. But it didn't really work because, you know, we're not Microsoft or Apple or whatever, so the teasing didn't really work out so well. And the next big peak that you can see is when we actually got featured in the United States marketplace. And this feature is not, we weren't the major feature, just a minor feature, but still it kind of tripled our downloads and especially halved our conversion rate. Okay, just let me talk to you about very quickly about version 2.1. Version 2.1 was a very interesting thing. We just made a few tweaks on the tabs, but I made a very big mistake when uploading this application, this version. And the big mistake was I uploaded from the debug folder instead of the release folder. And that meant that our users didn't have the trial limitations. The trial UI wasn't even popping up. And they also had this very nice performance counters, which they didn't really know what to do with, right? The version 2.1, this is the effect of version 2.1, the dip at the end of March. That's the effect of version 2.1. So our ratings went down, interestingly enough, the conversion rate hasn't gone down too much, even though people didn't have any means to buy the application. Now, we fixed this in version 2.2. But the last version I want to talk to you about is version 2.5, which is the current version. We added save image to library feature, which was our top requested feature, but the big change was that we added advertisement support. So we removed the previous limit that only allowed you to run the application 20 times, and we added advertisement. We also launched a new version of SurfCube, which is SurfCube free. It's exactly the same code, but many people are not looking at paid applications at all. So we figured, well, why not? We're just going to launch a free version with the same advertisements, and if you don't like ads, you just click that little text over there, and then you can buy the real version. And this is the ad that I can remove for you today. And interestingly enough, this is pretty much what we expected. The free version has already been downloaded about more times in the last months, actually about too many times as the paid trial version, even though the paid version is something like the number 5-10 paid application in the marketplace if you're not counting the games, and the free version is much, much lower in the rankings of free applications. And finally, let me share with you two release tips. One is that we always release, always upload, submit the application on Monday, because Microsoft doesn't seem to work on the weekend, so that gives us two more days to test the release candidate version. And the other thing is there's a checkbox at the very end of the submission wizard, which is automatically published to Marketplace after passing certification, and I always uncheck this, because in the unlikely event this hasn't happened yet, but it should have happened in the 2.1 release, but in the unlikely event of us discovering some showstopper bug, this allows us to pull back the buggy version, and it wouldn't even hit the users. And Balint, can you tell us something more about Cocktail Flow's experience?
Yeah, so we didn't have that many versions as SurfCube had, but we've been refining the application ever since we released it. So basically, we add new and new updates, basically with cocktail packages, little refinements, and what we see that users love updates. Every time we give them new cocktails, a new update, rating go up and up and up. And after a while, you know, 2 weeks after the update, we can see that ratings go a little bit down. So we also have localization in progress. We have quite a few German downloads, and they are quite requesting it. So we're investigating a test version where we include German language as well. And we'll be interested to see how that affects, do more people in Germany buy the app or not? And if possibly more people buy it, then we will do it possibly in other languages as well. We also are starting to add some new features, so stay tuned, because we believe users have enough cocktails now. We're not receiving any reviews that you don't have enough cocktails, so it's time to add some new fancy features. One great marketing, what we did was here at Mix, actually, we made Cocktail Flow free during the Mix, and we made a special Mix package and started tweeting about it. So basically, if you come to me, I give you a promotional code, or you can just follow Cocktail Flow on Twitter, and he will send you also a promotional code. And this way, you can unlock your trial. And basically, we got more than 1,500 followers on Twitter in 2 days, and approximately 2,000 app activations in the same duration. And that is huge, but the best part of it, that the last 100 ratings average 4.91, which is very, very high. We usually have an average of 4.7, which is also quite high. But, you know, I don't really know where we can go from this kind of rating. So I think we'd like to summarize what you've heard on the presentation today.
Okay. So we think that the key... Is it on? So we think that the key to making a splash in the marketplace is really have a good application and a quality implementation of that. And, well, you just can't skip that, can you?
Yeah, and we also believe that great experience pleases users. So do think about your app as a tool or an experience, and do the steps accordingly so you make sure that your app is going to be the highest rated app in the marketplace.
Now, that can be only one of those. Though.
Yeah, or one of the highest-rated apps, yeah. Of course.
We also have to be friends with the press, and it doesn't mean anything else than just, you know, if you release an application, create a video of it, send a press release to a couple of Windows Mobile or Windows Phone-related online websites, and that's going to take care of itself.
And always listen to user feedback. You may have plans, what users want, but they're actually be most of the time wrong. Just listen to them, figure out what they want, and change your plans accordingly to make sure that users will really love your application.
Yeah, that's right. As you know, the number one rule of user experience design is that you are not your user, so you can't think with their head. So keep the conversation alive. If you have a couple of people in your, a couple of emails in your inbox that talk about your application, even from the other side of the world, keep the conversation alive. Let them know of the new versions and ask their opinions, or maybe use them as beta testers.
Yeah, and updates always, if they are better than previous ones, then they generate great reviews. Users love the feeling that they bought something and then they get something again for free, so they're not using the value, but the whole app has an increasing value.
Yeah, and finally, developing an application as always is, it's pretty much a never-ending story.
Yeah.
So you cannot stop improving your application. And if you do it, well, the way we do it is every single release has a press release with it, and most of the time we actually received a press coverage for that. So that really helps your downloads and conversion rate.
Yeah, so thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, we're open to answering them. Yes?
Mentioned localization, and you came to the conclusion that because you were getting lower downloads in non-English countries, localization might not be worthwhile. I was just wondering how you came to that conclusion versus the other way around, that because you didn't have localization, maybe that was preventing people from non-English speaking countries from engaging with your application. And then the other question was, when you put out the ad-supported version, did you see any sort of cannibalization of your sales or anything like that, people who might have bought the application are now saying, well, I'm happy with the free one. And have you seen that the ads offset that possible cannibalization of sales?
Okay. So about localization, we still feel that we have other features that we have to implement before going that way, because that's going to slow our pace down. Why we came to the conclusion that we wouldn't do localization yet, basically, we have received a couple of requests that users want the application in Spanish or French, for example. I think there was, but just one or two such feedbacks. And as I said, we are pretty much driven by user feedbacks in terms of what we're working on for next version. So I know that there is need, and I know that probably the conversion rate in other countries would go up if we actually manage. But it is just so much extra work that at this very point, we think it's not worth it. We may be wrong. And the other thing about the advertisement, actually, when we decided on going the advertisement way, the eCPM, so the amount of money they pay for 1,000 impressions, was more than 10 times higher than today. But one or two days before we actually got to launch the version, it just, you know, went straight into the ground. So it was something like $5-$10, and now it's 0.6, 0.8. And even with this low rate, what I can tell you is that we're about even. So we did lose some sales, but not that much. And we did gain some profit from the advertisement, but not that much. So it was about it's about even. But and I also wanted to be able to share with you my experience at Mix. So that was one of the decision factors, believe it or not.
Thanks.
Sure. Can you please go to the mic? Or okay, I'll repeat your question. I think Balint is more advanced in that.
Yeah, so the question was, how do we plan to translate all the application data? Well, thank God we don't have that much data. We have a lot of cocktails, but the cocktails are built up from recipes, and the recipes have a pattern. So we already got those translated in German. We are already in a testing phase. and then we're going to release it. So basically, it was quite simple with resource files. And with this pattern, we don't have endless and endless text, but rather patterns we can follow. And it wasn't that difficult. So we used, of course, a German native language speaker who did that for us. But that's how we made it. Other questions?
Yep.
Yep.
Excuse me?
Do you think it is an interesting business given the time you spent in working on your application development?
Okay, so the question is, do we think it's a worthwhile or interesting business, right? In my experience, SurfCube is at about the break-even point right now. So we did invest a lot of time, we did invest a lot of effort into, you know, going through all these versions and making sure that it's as good as I hope you also think it is. We are at a break-even point, and we're pretty optimistic about the growth of the platform. So that now that we are pretty much the number one browser on Windows Phone, I think it's not just me saying that, but also our users. Going forward, and especially as Windows Phone is going to grow, with Mango and Nokia and other deals, it's going to be worthwhile to be at the top. It may not have been such an immediate return of investment, but it's definitely going to be okay.
As for us, we made quite good profit. I'm not saying that we don't have to do anything else, but it was definitely a good business for us to do it, yes.
Okay, any other questions? We have 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that? Do I answer that or not? So the question was, did I obfuscate my code? Okay. Yeah. The thing is, we did not obfuscate our code, and I'm still not sure if this was the right decision, but this is the decision we made. One of the reasons was you know, the entire process is easier this way. But the main reason is that a couple of friends did some experience with obfuscating code, and they found that you know, for data binding to work, you cannot do property renaming. For the application to be fast and responsive, which is a number one priority for us, you cannot do how do you call that when the instructions are, you know, swept around. What's the name for that? I just don't remember. So there's a lot of obfuscation options which you cannot use on a phone or with a Silverlight, and you end up with somewhat a weak obfuscation. And even though, yeah, you can reverse engineer the code this way, but we went in a way that we don't obfuscate. This may change in the future, I don't know, but this is the situation right now.
We didn't obfuscate it either. We don't believe that somebody would steal our code. If they want to steal it, go ahead. We don't believe that the code, which is of course a value, but we don't believe that's the key point of a great app. You know, you can hire developers, do that for that. That's an easily payable thing. It's the whole ecosystem, the experience, what I talked about, and we're not afraid. So if you want to compile it, go ahead, please. Learn from it if you can, and use it yourself to build greater applications on the platform.
So are you ready to go open source then?
We're not going to open source it because, you know, if you open source something, you have to maintain it. Somebody says it's not the proper way, test and stuff, but we're not afraid of somebody stealing it.
Okay. Anybody else? Or you again? Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for staying this late, and have a safe flight home. Thank you.
Goodbye.